This is episode 580 on the Hidden Why podcast with Dr. Manali Desai.
Welcome to the Hidden Why's 30-minute power segment. I am passionate about creating a lifestyle that minimizes suffering and regret. The purpose of life is not simply to survive, but to thrive, and I believe we do that by creating a life with greater freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. Each week, I will be delivering a 30-minute conversation with a guest expert on a topic that they are knowledgeable and passionate about, with the purpose to inspire and educate us all. I don't have all the answers. I'm simply trying to figure life out. And through greater awareness and understanding, I can put into practice what I learn to further my life's progression. I can't give you your life's map. I can't show you the way, but I can assist you in discovering your why. I can help you define your life's compass to guide you purposefully to act on and pursue your life's desires. And from there, watch happiness ensue. My guests are the experts. They are the people I learn from. They provide the inspiration, education, and methodology that we can all benefit from in better navigating the ultimate life. Without further ado, let the show begin.
G'day and welcome to the Hidden Why podcast. Today's special guest is Dr. Manali Desai. Her topic is eating. Dr. Manali Desai is a cardiologist and she helps busy professional women easily learn how to lose weight by making realistic changes while still enjoying eating, traveling and going out with friends and family. If you want to see how this is done, then have a listen to this episode. You can also download her free guide of what to eat when you go out to eat and still lose 15 pounds and start losing weight this month. That is available at thehiddenwhy.com in the show notes at episode 580. Enjoy the conversation with Dr. Manali Desai. Hello, Dr. Manali. Welcome to the Hidden Why podcast.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm really well, thank you. Lovely morning here, and it must be sort of afternoon or evening there. You're over in New York?
Yes, it's afternoon here. It's a sunny day.
Oh, fantastic. Look, looking forward to speaking to you today. The topic is eating, and particularly as it relates to weight loss. So you're a doctor and a medical profession. So tell us about this topic. What is its significance to you?
Yes, I'm a cardiologist. And so basically I see people after they have heart disease, but a lot of what you can do to prevent heart disease is changing how you eat and which helps you lose weight as well. And so that's how I got interested in eating healthy and to help people lose weight so they can help prevent heart disease.
Okay. And that might sound quite obvious to some people, you know, it's to mm-hmm. prevent it is what we eat. And maybe less obvious to other people. I'm not sure. Why is this topic important to you? I mean, obviously, as a cardiologist, you probably see a lot of people in pain and suffering, I imagine, and then you know, you can obviously understand that there's ways to prevent it from happening. So I would see that as sort of unnecessary pain and suffering, but why is it important to you?
Yes, I think because, you know, after I tend to talk to people after the fact, and you obviously can still make changes after you've had heart disease, but it becomes much harder. And there's a lot of things you can do that are preventative. But even though, you know, people have that information, somewhere there's a disconnect because in the U.S., you know, a third of this country is obese. And two-thirds of the country is overweight. And I think that's a growing trend in other countries as well. As countries sort of become more westernized, so to speak, even in third world countries, as they become westernized, people are gradually becoming overweight and obese.
Yeah, right.
And so even though people have the information, you know, there's some sort of disconnect in how they're utilizing it, that they're still putting on weight. And then that kind of triggers the things that lead to heart disease.
Okay. Yeah. And it's quite a... I imagine it's quite a difficult topic. I don't know enough, but I certainly can see it as an issue, and I think a lot of people can probably relate. So how do we, I mean, as far as it relates to you, that's obviously your profession, and educating people in this manner, how do you go about doing that? Like, how do you share that information with them other than once they've come in and had some treatment with you, you know, showing them the right ways forward perhaps? Like, how do you assist people to, you know, prevent it so they don't come in to see you?
Yes. So I started a website. That's how I started my website, If We Were Family, is it sort of to give people the information because, you know, once people have heart disease, they'll see me, like you said, but this is more people can find the information online and it's reliable information because it's information that's, you know, science backed and information I've used to help people already, you know, after they have heart disease, but it also works for people before they have heart disease. And so that's how I started writing about it and writing articles about it, is just, you know, to give people that information, that they can find without actually coming to see me in the office.
Great. So just for the audience, that's your website, which is ifwewerefamily.com. So again, I'll have the link in the show notes so people can check out that and check out your blogs as well. So you're really providing a platform with the education and information to allow people to then just, I guess, increase their awareness and knowledge. And then from there, how do you inspire, and this is probably the harder part, but how do you inspire them to then use that information? Because like you said, a lot of us are aware. A lot of us know the things that perhaps aren't good for us in life, and I am absolutely guilty of this, yet still find myself behaving in a way that just, you know, irritates me. And I think a lot of people could probably relate.
Yes, I think some of it is also the mindset information, you know, and because there's two parts. One is knowing what to eat, which is easier to figure out. But two is part of sort of the mindset of why you're having trouble sticking those things. And some of it is emotional eating. Some of it is, you know, just boredom eating. When people are at work and they get bored, they tend to overeat. Or, you know, they're sad or they're happy. There are a lot of situations that trigger eating. And so some of it is also that. Right now I'm building the website, but eventually I hope to have like a coaching part of the website too. But right now I'm more building the informational part and getting feedback from people who sign up for it to like what they're looking for.
Okay. Do you see this as something that would move you away from your current profession into a new sort of arena?
I think it's possible, you know, I can reach a lot more people online, I feel like, you know, just because there's more people coming, looking for information online, you know, than physically maybe I can reach, but I think maybe I'll do some combination of both.
Yeah, cool, I like it. It's obviously, you know, a passion of yours and something that you're very excited about to share and help others with, so that's always a good thing. I think more people like yourself that are doing this thing, you know, again, we can't reach everyone, can we, as an individual, so...
Yes.
Yeah, really important stuff. And look, I want to get into some of the information perhaps that you share. But just going back to the epidemic, I suppose we could call it, or the issue at hand, you know, there is a lot of information out there and there is a lot of knowledge, yet it still seems to be a major modern day issue. You know, on one extreme, we've got overweight and obese people with a lot of eating problems. And on the other hand, we have a lot of people starving and going through hunger. Now going to the overeating, or the not overeating, even just unhealthy eating, what do you feel is the reason for that? Because we do have the information, we've got more access to information than ever before, yet we've still got this major, major problem.
Yeah. So I think part of it is now at this point, people almost have too much information and, you know, there's almost a lot of, incorrect information online as well. Because there's, you know, anyone who wants to can start a site and start talking about, you know, weight loss. And so there's a lot of bad information. And then I also think, you know, there's a lot of flashy information. I think sometimes people are looking for something new or something they haven't tried yet. And so if someone says, here's a 30-day juice diet and you'll lose, you know, 50 pounds, people are actually looking at information like that too, because they're sort of frustrated. And when you do things like that, though, it can be even more frustrating because you try it. Maybe it does work if you're, you know, on a all juice diet for 30 days. But then right after the 30 days, you rebound back. And I think part of it is also the yo-yo dieting, you know, that a lot of these diets aren't people can't maintain them long term. Yeah. And so they swing back and forth. And so the part of what I'm trying to teach is ways that you can, you know, change how you eat, but things that you can do long term so that you're not bouncing back and forth.
Yeah, okay, and I could definitely see that as a big problem. Yo-yo dieting, I like that that phrase or term. Yeah, so certainly, and you know, people going out there, do you think it's just because it's all too hard and you know, we don't want to make the hard decisions, we just want something that's easy, you know, and that's, I guess, the modern day, it's all the how-tos out there that we're surrounded by, and if it's not easy, we just sort of, we'll try it, but then, you know, again, fail or just steer clear of it. Yeah, do you see that as a problem?
Maybe a little bit, but I also think a lot of diets are extreme, you know? So if you start out day one with something extreme, I think maybe there's about like 10% of people, you know, who can suddenly switch to like normal, you know, what people are normally eating to like, let's say a vegan diet and have no problem with it. But most people, once you add in the fact that, you know, people are busy, they're going to work, they have families, and then they go out to eat with other people, something like that is kind of hard to maintain, you know, unless you're like Beyonce and you have a personal chef following you everywhere. You know, most people can't have, you know, that kind of extreme diet change. Not just because it's hard, but it would be hard for anybody, you know, because everyone around you would have to change too for that really to work.
Okay. So it's not only the diet that perhaps we choose, but it's actually the environment that we're in and our particular circumstance that adds to the challenge of anything that we move towards. Okay. I like that. So as far as, you know, helping people from here, what advice can you give them if they're saying, well, I want to, you know, do something about my weight loss? Would it be to go out there and research more, or what advice would you give them the first step?
I think the first step is starting with something small. And what I talk about a lot is that, you know, what you do at the beginning of the day, a lot of times is the most important, you know, because let's say you were eating a donut for breakfast or something sweet, you tend to raise your blood sugar level. And then the rest of the day, your body will want more sugar to sort of maintain it high. And so you tend to then eat more sugary or unhealthy foods the rest of the day. So if you can start your, you know, if you're making one change, if you can start your breakfast as being, you know, a low sugar breakfast and more high protein, then it kind of sets the rest of your day up to be more successful just then, because your blood sugar levels don't get high from, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning or whenever you eat breakfast.
Okay. I like that. So start, you know, start with something small, but start right as well. And I think, you know, how we start something is usually how we finish it. And that could be with our diet, with our health, just with our day, with our week, with our month, etc. So I think that's a really important point. So as far as the information you share online, can you give us like maybe a few things that you think would be most instrumental to a healthy diet or, you know, healthy way of living?
Yes, I think you have to, you know, like I said, if you're changing one thing, I would change sort of the sugar component of what you're eating. And then the next thing I would say is that you do have to, especially in the beginning, sort of make it a priority every day, you know, so every day when you wake up in the morning, you have to think of it as, if it is your number one priority, then this, you know, is one thing that I'm going to do every day. And because I think other things in life, you know, sort of tend to get in the way and people forget about it, or they give up on it. But if it's something you're committed to being healthy, then in the beginning, especially, it's something you're gonna have to think about. Now, eventually over time, it'll get easier. But in the beginning, you do have to think about it every day. And I think one of the ways to think about it is that most of the time, food is meant to be fuel and nutrition and energy, not necessarily, you know, fun and enjoyment. I think maybe 80% of the time, it's, you should think of it as fuel and nutrition. And maybe 20% of the time is enjoyment, like going out to eat with people for fun or celebrating a success or something like that.
Okay, so that's sort of adopting the Pareto principle, the 80-20 rule?
Yes.
I like that. Okay, so 80% of the time, think of it as fuel and nutrition, 20%, you know, do it as that fun. I like that. And that's, a lot of people do that with the, I know they have cheat days and stuff like that where they'll eat healthily during the week, and then on the weekend or on the Sunday, you know, they'll allow themselves to have that fun with food.
Yes, yes. So, I think that's important, yeah.
Yeah, well, there's two perspectives to that, and one is that, you know, yeah, that's a fine way to do it because it allows you to keep balance, but the other way says, you know, but it's never good. Like, some things are probably just, there's no balance to it. It just should always be avoided.
Right, and I think this is a good way to start, because what I usually see with people is that, you know, if you can start it with small steps, the healthier you eat, actually, the more motivated you are to eat healthier. Yeah. But if you don't make progress in the beginning, you know, and that means for the first few months, usually what happens is you just get frustrated and bounce back. And so that's where the yo-yo dieting comes in. So I think that, you know, you'll be surprised by how much, if you just eat a little bit healthier, you'll be motivated over time. And it is a longer time, you know, I mean, like over years, to eat healthier. But if you start out extreme, and just try to go, let's say, to like a vegan diet on day one, for most, I mean, I'd say about, like I said, like 10-15% of people can really do that, but most people, that's not realistic, you know? So if you start out with realistic changes, I think it'll motivate you over time to keep making more changes.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And I like that. That's a really important point, I think, is the time element. You know, a lot of us want immediate results. We want that immediate reward, immediate satisfaction. Mm-hmm. And certainly in my experience, my health has improved. It's still got a long way to go, I feel. And maybe I'm just a bit harsh on myself, but I really do believe that. But it's taken me, you know, when I look at my diet 10 years ago to where it is today, it's amazing to look at it. But again, that's been 10 years, you know, it's taken me time mm-hmm. and a continual effort and continual awareness and knowledge building to get there. And I'm still nowhere near perfect or the, you know, the pure example of what good health or diet might be. So I think that's a really important element. When you talk about sugar consumption, just on that, what are we talking about when we talk about sugar consumption? I mean, are we talking about, you know, refined sugar in donuts, etc.? Are we talking about fruits?
So, you know, if you're trying to cut back, I would say it's all sugar. So not that you should stop eating fruit, but if you, let's say, move fruit to later in the day, because as soon as you start eating sugar, and donuts are worse than fruit, it's a different type of sugar, like high glycemic index versus low glycemic index. But anytime you raise your blood sugar level, your body then wants to keep your blood sugar level at that rate, you know? So if you're trying to cut back on it, if you start out with less sugar, so you move fruit maybe a little bit later in the day, then it'll help you sort of maintain that throughout the day.
Okay, so when you say later in the day, do you mean like if we have a normal, 9-to-5 job, we're up at 6 and we sort of clock out at 10, would it be sort of midday to have that first bit of fruit or?
I think so. I would test it, you know, I would try it out and see what works best for you. It kind of depends on when your like danger point is for snacking. For some people, it's at work because they're bored at work. And then I would say to have fruit like later in the day, closer to dinner. But if your, you know, danger time is actually after work, cause you're bored after work, you know, at home watching TV, then you'd probably have to split it between lunch and dinner. So you keep your levels, sort of stable, because when you get spikes in your blood sugar is when it becomes more of a problem, because then your body wants to keep those high spikes, going all day. And if you then don't, is usually when people have like, you know, they feel like they go into a lot of people here call it a carb coma, but it could be sugar as well, any type of sugar, that where you feel sort of bad after your blood sugar levels drop.
Okay. So yeah, and that's a big part of it too, I guess, that experimentation part, huh? So just trying things and seeing what works. Yeah, okay. So a couple of really good points there. What, I'm just trying to get my next question for you ready in my head. As far as getting in the right mental preparation. I mean, you obviously work with a lot of people once they've even gone through serious health issues, but getting in, you know, into that right consistent mind frame where they can actually take, you know, step up to the challenge, I suppose, of eating the right foods. Because I agree, once you get into sort of a pattern, and that might take, you know, even a week when it actually starts feeling like a good pattern, or a month or a couple of months, how do you get them there? Because it's so easy to start off right today, but then tomorrow something happens, we get a bit stressed, maybe someone else around us is eating a pie or a, you know, a bucket of chips or whatever, a donut, and we feel that temptation come on. How do you help people really stay in that mental mindset that's conducive to the direction they want to go?
I think part of it is talking to people about it, you know, what happened that you got derailed, or you got just stuck for one day, and then sort of, and you know, if you're not talking to a doctor, you could even talk to, you know, family members. If you tell someone else, you know, that who would help you, that, you know, I'm trying to lose weight or I'm trying to eat healthy, and then figure out where you're getting stuck, because everyone, especially in the beginning, is probably going to get stuck somewhere, you know, and sort of figuring out what the solution to that is, and the fact that just knowing that it's a process that's going to take time. But there are going to be failures, especially in the beginning, until you figure out what your routine is.
Okay, so be a bit more gentle on our efforts.
Yes, in the beginning, especially, because, you know, like I said, it's hard in the beginning to, if you're not in that mindset, to sort of get into it. And then once you get the habits down, though, it becomes progressively easier.
Okay. Do you find a lot of people, you know, slip off the rails in the first whatever week or month, and then, you know, just get discouraged from trying again?
Yes, and I think even if they don't see progress in the first month, they get discouraged. But that's kind of the point where you're trying things. So I think it's important to sort of stick through that initial part.
Okay, and that's, I guess that's the probably the biggest challenge with, you know, the whole way forward with, you know, positive, mm-hmm. healthy eating is just getting through that and getting away from how we've been conditioned to eat and consume food. You know, and I like that, you know, asking for help, again, that might be around us. If it's not around us, I mean, does that mean we should be reaching out to groups or coaches or, you know, doctors or something like that to seek that help?
I think so, yes, because, you know, if you've tried on your own and you've been unsuccessful, but it's sort of an investment in yourself. You know, yeah. The healthier you are, you're sort of going to be successful in other aspects of your life, and then your health is something that you'll have to worry about less. So it's worth investing time and money, you know, if you've tried it on your own and you've been unsuccessful, whether that's a coach or your doctor or nutritionist. Some people do better in person with groups, and some people, you know, prefer online. But either way, you know, investing some time and money in that, because it is important sort of for your long-term productivity, for your long-term ability to, you know, be healthy and do things that you enjoy.
Absolutely. But, you know, if we look at the time and money and thing, and perhaps that's the mm-hmm. problem with how society's designed, there's a lot of people in situations where they don't have the money. And perhaps because, mm-hmm. You know, they're working, you know, 5-6 days a week, whatever it might be, long days. You know, that time suck that they experience must lead to a drain of energy as well. And then at the end of the day, you know, just, I guess, unmotivated to try.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably more the problem than the people that have time and money to invest in themselves, you know, depending on their background. I think that's probably more where the problem exists, but I'm not really sure. What is your thoughts?
I think I can speak more to with patients in this situation. I usually find that there's always someone like a family member who is like, can be the, I guess, instigator, so to speak, you know, to keep that person on track. Now, some of it is because my patients usually have heart problems. So the goal is to help prevent more heart problems. But I think, you know, there's always some family member or a friend who, you know, is that person who is motivated. And I think if you can find that person, you know, or even ask for help, you know, you'd be surprised how many people are willing to help you when it comes to health problems or preventing health problems.
Do you think there's something emotional? I mean, there's obviously something emotional involved with the way we eat, but do you think there's something there that prevents people from asking for help, like something psychological that they just, you know, don't want to?
Yeah, I think people are, right. I think people are embarrassed that they're not able to do it. But I think that, you know, most people at some point, even people who are, you know, skinny, you know, I've never been significantly overweight, but as you get older, you are more likely to put on weight and you have to put more effort into eating healthier and staying the same weight. So I think the reason people don't do it usually is embarrassment, you know, is asking people who are like successfully keeping off weight because they themselves are not able to do it. A lot of times they get embarrassed to ask for help. But I think you'd be surprised how many of those people who are successfully, you know, eating healthy are willing to help you because, you know, it's something that most people actually are willing to help.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I think that's a big part of the issue. You know, we don't want to reach out for help because we're embarrassed or we feel like, you know, we're going to be somehow exposed or vulnerable to that whole process. And is there anything there? Like, have you worked with people at that level to help them say, you know, it is okay, you can ask for help. There are people to help you. What is your sort of experience with dealing with those people?
Yes, I have. And, you know, but it's a process because if you've never done it before, it usually will take some amount of talking to sort of like talk therapy, so to speak, you know, to get to the point where you're able to ask somebody for help. Because that, you know, asking someone, you know, is more cost effective, obviously, than coming to a nutritionist every week or a doctor, you know, that ends up, like you said, I mean, that for anyone is going to be time consuming and cost consuming. So that's why, you know, I've suggested to people even maybe by text message to, you know, reach out to people and be like, let's do like a monthly check-in or something like that. And so sometimes it's easier by text than, you know, in person or by phone, because it's, I don't know, hiding, you know, kind of right, being at a keyboard is somehow easier. And I've, you know, had people successfully do that too, where they, you know, just do a text message check-in.
Yeah, I think like a lot of things with change, you know, it's about making the process easy sort of to enter and act on rather than difficult. And that's, like anything, I think, you know, remove the temptations, set yourself up in a way that allows you to do it with more ease rather than more challenge. So certainly finding an accountability buddy is ideal, reaching out and asking people for help. I like all that information. On the individual level, at home, what could we do to really help us stay in that right sort of mind frame and awareness?
I think at home, you have to sort of slowly, I think what happens a lot is if you have a family, is a lot of times you keep foods that are unhealthy for, you know, when people come over or for your kids or snacks or something like that.
Yeah.
But if you can sort of slowly get into the space where you're only keeping healthy food at home, so that if you do feel like a craving or something like that, you actually have to physically leave your house and go somewhere and get something.
Yeah.
That will make it easier. And part of that is just sort of getting your people that you live with on board with the idea that, you know, it's actually good for everyone, even for kids, you know, setting them up with healthy eating habits from childhood is a good thing. And I think sort of you just mentally have to get through that space of where keeping healthy food at home is good for everyone, and not having unhealthy food in the house most days, you know, unless it's like special occasions or holidays or something like that, is better for everyone in the house.
Absolutely. Yep. That's a good place to start. Look, it's been a fantastic conversation, Dr. Manali. I appreciate you coming on today. Is there any closing points or thoughts that you want to share with the audience?
Yes, I just like to reiterate that, you know, it's just small steps, like, and today is always the day, you know, because I think a lot of times things happen in life that prevent you from being, you know, taking that first step. But that first step, you should always, even if it's very small, always try to make it today so that, you know, it's more than you did yesterday and you'll move yourself forward.
Yeah, don't give up. Keep taking those little steps. And I think the positive change will come. Well, thank you. And certainly I'll stick the link in the show notes. So it again is ifwewerefamily.com. Is that right? I've got that right, don't I?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you've got a free giveaway, I think, too, don't you, for us?
Yes, I do. It's basically a guide to sort of help you when you are eating out, you know, if you're at work or you're out on the weekend or with your family, sort of how to pick food when you go out to eat that's just not, you know, you're eating salads all the time, but food you enjoy but can still be healthy. Because I think that's what happens when people are in a rush and don't have time to meal prep. You know, it's great if you do, if you have time to meal prep your whole week. But if you don't and you're in a hurry or traveling, then this is the type of food you should eat when you're going out to eat.
Can you give us an example? Because when I go on traveling or, you know, something like that, I always feel like I should be eating like burgers and chips. I think a lot of people can relate, but yeah, what is a couple of examples to...
Yes, I think let's say you're eating out, you're at the airport in the morning. A lot of times, even places like Starbucks will have healthy options. Like they have a reduced fat turkey bacon sandwich or an egg white, you know, egg bites that you can eat. And those are good options again, like in the morning, because like I was mentioning, you know, they don't raise your sugar level as much. And so those tend to be healthier options in the morning. Then later in the day, you know, what you can start with, let's say you're at a pizza restaurant, is you can start with more vegetable appetizers. And then the goal is not to like, you know, have no carbs or, you know, nothing bad, but it's to start filling with vegetables and preferably lean proteins earlier in the meal so that you don't feel the need as much for the higher carb or saturated fat foods later in the meal.
Okay. That makes sense. So do you, and I didn't touch on this, do you sort of promote a vegan sort of diet or paleo sort of diet? Is there any preference for you personally as a doctor?
From a heart standpoint, usually the best diet is for most people is going to be a vegan diet. But that doesn't always end up being the healthiest diet. It depends on how you execute it. And so I don't normally recommend it to people unless they really feel like they're going to be able to do it in a healthy way.
Yeah.
Because most people aren't able to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just thought I'd touch on that point because, you know,
yeah.
I certainly have read a lot of research that would suggest that, you know, a meat diet, and perhaps it's not meat necessarily, but too much, I don't really know. but it's certainly contributing to a lot of the cardiovascular issues that are out there these days. But you're right, like it's not one that you can just go vegan, because there's a lot of vegan options that are very unhealthy and don't give you the right nutrients, I guess, as well.
Right, right. And because a lot of times with the vegan, they don't end up eating enough healthy protein. So then it ends up not, you know, not working out the way you think it would. And all, you know, animal protein to some degree, an excess of it is not good because of the saturated fat, but some animal protein helps you stay, keep your protein, you know, levels where they should be as well,
yeah.
Which is important for other things like keeping your muscle mass as you get older.
Yeah. Okay. So look, yeah, go out there, guys, do your research, you know, take those small steps to change in the right direction as you believe it, and experiment with things and see where it might lead you, and don't be so hard on yourself. You got to keep pushing forward, keep trying, and when you start feeling good, I believe that's when you really start to motivate yourself more to make the right changes. It's about how we feel. So Dr. Manali, thanks again for coming on the show.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Guys, check it all out, thehiddenwhy.com. All the show notes will be included there. And until next time, peace, passion, and purpose. See you soon.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to today's conversation. I really hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you've been able to take something away, something to help you create a more meaningful life, a life with greater freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. Guys, if you love the content that I produce here at The Hidden Why, there are a few ways you can support me. Firstly, connect with me. You can do so in a number of different ways. You can connect with me online at thehiddenwhy.com or via social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, etc. I would love to hear from you guys. I would love to connect with you. If you've got any thoughts, comments, feedback, suggestions, or anything at all that you'd like to ask me, you can reach me at thehiddenwhyguy@gmail.com. While you're there, guys, make sure you subscribe to thehiddenwhy.com. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you can be kept up to date with all the new episodes and happenings here at The Hidden Why. If you love what you heard in this episode, guys, or any of the others, please share the love. Share it with your family, friends, and anyone you think that might get some value. If you haven't already done so, you can also leave me a review on iTunes. Simply head over to iTunes, type in The Hidden Why, click the ratings and reviews button, and leave me a short message plus a 1 to 5 star rating. It helps me reach more people. Once again, guys, I appreciate the time you've taken out of your day to support my show. Until next time, you know what to do. Breathe more passion into every single moment. Do everything with greater purpose, and in doing so, you will discover your hidden why. This is The Hidden Why Podcast. My name is Lee Mundelty. Until next time, peace, passion, and purpose. See you soon.